yesterday afternoon, I'm just sitting there and I couldn't come up with any kind of a talk, so I picked up a book that Kamran, I read some of Rumi, and that's always terribly inspiring. I love God-drunk poets. They're madmen of the desert. I love it, see? And to hear them sing, it reminded me this morning of listening to that mockingbird, see? And that mockingbird, see, is expounding the Dharma in the most profound way. Get out from behind the egocentric mind, and you can begin to experience, see, what your life truly is all about. Kogyo emailed over, I don't know whether he found one of Roshi's talks or he went to the Avatamsaka Sutra, where these astounding numbers and about birth and death, because I've quoted it here because Roshi liked it. Do you, you know, you're terrified of birth and death. Birth and death, see? But do you know how many times you go through the process of birth and death in the course of a 24-hour period? See? 6,400,099,000 times in the course. And Kogyo broke that. Did you do the math on that one? Yeah. See, you know how many times in this last second or two? You are born and die 70,000 times a second. See, a lot of you say, oh, bullshit. No, no. That's absolutely true. See, we don't see it. This most amazing thing that's going on here. You realize that within this group, the seeds of our destruction, see, of this breaking down, it's already at play. And for some of us, see, it's accelerating, growing at a more rapid pace. But for everyone, it's starting to come up. See, that's the amazing thing about this cause and effect. Cause and effect. You have risen up, see, out of the great ocean. Call it Alaya consciousness if you want to. We can call it Buddha mind if we want to. See, again, we have some new folks here, so I'll clarify. Buddha is not an Asian god. Buddha simply means awake. And when we say the Buddha mind, we mean the awake mind. This awake mind, you don't have to look for it. See, it's what's holding you upright. If it decides to exit your body, you're going to be prone, and in a very short time, you're just going to be a bunch of crap laying there on the ground with worms crawling around. See? But the Buddha mind will not have gone away. See? But the karmic influence, the great ocean, see? The great ocean is what an amazing thing. Look at all of the myriad bodies and forms that are contained within the great ocean. And this Buddha mind, see, even exceeds that. This is what you are. This is why we celebrate. We celebrate birth. See, what kind of birth? The birth of the awakened mind. It is constantly waking up, waking up, waking up. If you live in delusion, you're asleep. And you're on the wheel of transmigration, meaning pain and suffering. And don't think in terms of some place downstream in your life. You're doing it to yourself constantly throughout the day. Isn't that right? See, but it's pointless. It's needless. You produce your own heaven and your own hell. The way you approach anything, anything novel, you're immediately caught in your head of judging. It's good or it's bad. Where does that judgment come from? Your bias. See, your bias, and then what do? You project out from what? Your expectation of how you want things to be. See, the old Zen masters will say, they are as they are. See, then don't try, see, to twist them. Don't try to shape them. Don't try to bend them to your psychological makeup. Because your psychological makeup is bent and twisted. See, that's why you live in an erotic zone. See, a psychotic zone. See, because you're continuously bouncing around And for some of you, are you talking to yourself right now? See, and if you are, you see, you don't get what Buddha Dharma is. See, this most amazing thing, Buddha Dharma, see, the practice of Buddha Dharma is to realize and actualize in this moment what our life truly is all about. See, it isn't to accept a delusional state, see, a state of accommodation, see, where I live in fear, where I live in anger, see, where greed dominates my life. See, that's the world, though, in your mandala if you're not awake. See, pick up the newspaper, those that are still functioning. See, turn on the news channels and see the insanity that spins around us. See, it spins around us in that way because that's simply the makeup, see, of the delusional mindset, the egocentric mind. The egocentric mind, see, the basic ground of it is fear. See, and when I live in ignorance, see, that's experiencing myself as separate. It experiences myself as this little entity, see, that sits outside of everything else. That isn't how it is. So long as I live in isolation, so long as I live in isolation, see, I have to be very, very careful because all of this is a threat to this little secure world that I live in. And that gives rise, see, to all of the problems that exist, see, in the world of samsara. That is the universe that most of us spin in. But the amazing thing with the practice of Buddha Dharma is that you can change that. Buddha found a way out, see, on his birth, see, and yet each moment is the birth of the Buddha. See, each moment is the birth of the Buddha. And if you like, each moment is the death of ignorance. See, continuously, whatever, see, we hold on to from the past, see, is an illusion. And when you continuously go back in, and it's an unfortunate thing, but much of psychology is based on that. It's based on delusion that somehow or another, see, by working over and working through all of the emotional trauma of early childhood, that you're going to make some kind of a correction. See, all you're going to do is to take this conditioned mind and you're going to condition a slightly different way. Look, my degrees are in the field, and if you're so totally dysfunctional, see, that your neighbors and your family don't want to be around you, then find yourself a real good therapist. Remember, the therapist is only going to carry you as far as their own hang-up. See? See? And it's true. It's true. See? So in the field that I was involved with, see, with behavioral modification, they could condition you. If you had a tendency to pick your nose in public, they could work with you a little bit so that you wouldn't do it, you'd do it in private. See, and that way there's an improvement. There's an improvement, see. You're not socially so disgusting. But Roshi once responded to one of his people who was a therapist who said that they were going to do therapy in the Doksan room. And Roshi, I don't know if this person even heard Roshi's response. Roshi said, you can do that. But no matter how effective you might think you are, you're still dealing in delusion. Now, he once told me that if you want to get rid of an onion, if you want to get rid of this egocentric mind, see, that's the mind that is constantly picking and choosing, evaluating, judging, based upon what? Your neurotic thought patterns. Do you realize how neurotic you are? Hey, some of you hang out with me in the Doksan room. I know how neurotic you are. And if I know how neurotic you are, you really should know how neurotic you are because it's you. And if you don't have that snapshot of yourself, you're in some major trouble. We got Kuge here. She's got her business card. You can hook on and she'll get you realizing, you know, what you do. Think of your mind right now. Look, crazy mind. Is there anybody's head in here you'd want to change with? No. Why? Because you look over and you say, that's a crazy person. I don't want to be in their head. And the beauty is the person across the room looks over and says, I wouldn't be in that person's head. That's a crazy person, and I don't want to be there. See, but if you can empty this vessel out, like when we celebrate a birthday, if you're bitching and moaning about something else, you're not celebrating a birthday. Thursday night, we did Fusatsu. Fusatsu. See, atonement. What is true atonement? My teacher would break it down into three syllables. At one ment. See, to go beyond the barrier that of separation. See, go beyond this barrier of separation. Then you've purified it. See, they'll say that the dharmas, what are the dharmas? Again, we'll break it down. It's all of this stuff. If I put a capital D on it, it's the training, the teaching of the Buddha. But when we say this dharma in this sense, we mean the 10,000 things. Start counting them up. We got Cameron, we got Jin, and see, then we got you got to get onto their shirt and their clothes, and you got to get, that's the 10,000 things. See, everything is the 10,000 things, the dharma. And what is the treasure? Purity. What is purity? It's not a Judeo-Christian understanding of purity. We know what that brings. See, war and destruction, that kind of purity. No, purity is as it is. And you can't argue with that. It is as it is. But if I don't want it that way, if my expectation isn't met, what will I do? I will cause mayhem. I will cause problems. I will kill. See, to push my personal agenda. And then if I got a nut on the other side of it, see, who's also pushing their agenda, each time I hit them, they're going to hit me back twice. They hit me twice, I'm hitting them three times. Insanity. See, the Buddha walked approximately 2,500 years ago. And actually, we should say the Gautama, or Shakyamuni. See, in his great enlightenment. See, when the Buddha, beautiful, see, when the Buddha looked up, see, saw the morning star, and said, I, the great earth, and all, see, Shakyamuni Buddha is not this I. See, Nyogen isn't this I. See, Kyoji isn't this I. This I is the Shakyamuni Buddha. This I is Kyoji. See, this I, see, this is the great wonder, see, of this non-distracted state of which is samadhi, which is what? See, this Buddha mind, this awakened state. Live in it. Live in it. You can do that. See, it isn't that complicated. You have to give up your fantasies. See, think about it. You're in the past, reliving all of the regrets. And the funny part about it is, for a while, you kind of like that, don't you? You like to bathe in it. See, oh, God, if only they wouldn't have done that to me. See, well, they did. Get over it. See? Because you can't do a thing about it. It is as it is. How is it then, Nyogen? It's like this. It's like this. And this is not bad. Beautiful little temple. Relatively quiet day. No helicopter gunships flowing overhead. That's how it is. And that's how it always is. And interestingly enough, and some of you are beginning to experience this, samadhi. The state of non-distracted awareness. That's why we sit. See, in what Kamran has pursued, the Sufi, see, in their divine dancing, they spin into samadhi. See, as a matter of fact, some of the great teachers can do amazing things. I had my teacher once on a dance floor drive his fist into the middle of my back and put me into one of the deepest states of samadhi. Kang! See, Kiyosaku, the awakening stick. Awakening stick. If it's done right, can drive you to the summit. Bang! And you're there. Hold it now. See, don't slip back into the ruminating mind. Now hold it. See, that's keeping this ox on the path. Which ox? That's your mind that's running around. For some of you, watch how it's running. See, can you even imagine not living in your head like that and talking to yourself? Do you believe that's possible, Julie? See, it is. It is possible. And that's what the Shakyamuni, that's what he found out. He looked around him. He looked at the same universe, in a sense, that we do. Because it is always the same in this sense. See, that it's ego-driven, and that ego-driven life is filled with greed and anger. See, Buddha found it in his time, and we have it in our time. And we can see greed run amok, what it does. It causes pain and suffering. See, anger unleashed causes pain and suffering. And these demons are brought about because of ignorance. This doesn't mean book learning, because some of the most ignorant people are perhaps the best educated, because they are so deeply entrapped, see, in the ego-driven intellect that they cannot conceive of coming out. And yet, some of the most brilliant minds that have ever walked the face of the earth have in fact looked up as the Shakyamuni Buddha did, looked around him and said, wow, what a place, what a place. The best thing you can hope for? Can you imagine this? Look at how delusional we are. If I told you right now, you're going to get out there in your car and you're going to drive 5 miles down the road. See, you're going to, see, and you're going to have one hell of a bad automobile accident, and I guarantee it. If you go down that road for 5 miles, you're going to have one hell of a bad accident. Could really be, maybe they're going to have to pick the parts up. Would you do it? I mean, right today, if I can guarantee it, would you drive down there? Of course you wouldn't. Or some of you would, to test it. See? And then you'd bitch and moan. You see, then you'd bitch and moan. Even though you've been warned, you'd bitch and moan about it. See? But that's that's the condition you're in. I mean, literally, that's the condition. You know what a winning hand is for you. To get old, get sick, and die. That's a winning hand. And Buddha looked at that and he thought, this sucks. He said, why would anybody feel comfortable? I mean, God, this has got to be on my mind. See, I'm watching the days drop by. Boom, boom, boom. See, how many more days are there that I can play this silly game of an illusion? See? And so Buddha decided, he said, got to be a way out of this. And at the time that the Buddha lived, there was a lot of spiritual turmoil. There were lots of guys trying lots of different things. So Buddha, see, in desperation. And generally speaking, when we come to this, we're coming to it from a place of desperation. And that's a good sign. If you're frightened and you're desperate, whew, it means you've probably woken up and looked around you and you thought, oh my God. See, you'd been living in the palace with the Buddha, and it all looked pretty nice there. And now, all of a sudden, you jumped over the wall, and you looked around, and you thought, oh, my goodness, my goodness. You stand at the edge of a precipice. See, you stand at the edge of a precipice. All you have to do, look how simple it is, just miss the next inhalation. That's all you have to do. You're not a very rugged thing in a funny kind of a way. Miss the next breath. That doesn't seem like a lot, does it? Try it. Just don't inhale again and see what it brings, you see? Even there I can predict it. Over on your back, turning deep colors, we have Kyoji and Gyonin up there hitting you on the chest, trying to breathe, damn you, breathe, you see? It's that delicate. And the best you can hope for is old age and death. Well, what about the interim? Well, the interim doesn't last long, does it? It's turning over at the pace of 70,000 times a second. So there's not much that you can really hold on to. See, it's impermanent. The one thing that you can do if you're not playing in this illusory world is to stay awake in the now. When you stay awake in the now, something changes. See, Buddha then, in his endeavors, nearly killing himself, see, saw something differently. He sat down, see, and said that I will not move. And what he saw first were the Four Noble Truths. What he looked out here, and he said, well, life is suffering. And see, I've explained it and oversimplified in a certain sense, but in another sense, any more detail is sort of meaningless. It's almost trivia, driven behind an intellectual need to play with those kind of things. It's enough to know that the end game for you is the same for everybody. See? And if you're clinging desperately to this life, see, and we do, you're clinging to an illusion that you cannot hold. See? All of us have the same fate waiting us. However, that's if we stay stuck, if we stay attached. Now, in many times when they define the Four Noble Truths, they'll say desires. And then when they get into more of a lesser vehicle, see, they make Buddha Dharma sound terribly unpalatable. See, you don't have any desires. See, that wasn't the understanding of my teacher. He said he had lots of desires. Lots of desires. See? But he said, don't have any attachment to them. It's the attachment. And what is that attachment? It is my expectation of how I want things to be. And I'll guarantee you, every time you're uncomfortable, every time you experience anger, expectation. My expectation isn't being met. And then what can we do about that in his third world? What do we do about that? See, we can say, he can say, drop the desire. No. The attachments. Roshi would say, don't pick it up if you can't put it down. And see, it's very pragmatic, this practice. You understand that you really can never hold or own anything. See, and it's an amazing thing. See, with Kogan and Hogan, see? Now, darling, you know what's going to happen. In 20 years, he'll be unshaven, pot-bellied, drinking a Budweiser, sitting in front of the TV watching a ball game. And it's amazing seeing you look there and you wonder what the hell is wrong with him. See? Where is this one that could get out and move around? And he'll look up at you when you're about 212, and he'll say, well, see, you can't hold on to anything. See, nothing. And that's the beauty. That's where you learn to play. That's where you learn to play. You learn to play, see, on the very cusp of this amazing thing. If you're a surfer in the great ocean, see, you want to ride. I was telling a cousin, see, if a surfer, surf big waves. See, well, I'm comfortable with little waves. I don't know, ride big waves. See, get right up on the edge. See, and where is that edge? It's right here, now. And then have the courage to stay awake here. Don't go back into the egocentric mind where you have all sorts of expectations. Dump it. See, you want to get rid of the past. You do not pull a shadow train. See, Dogen says, not one thought is worth a second thought. Try it. See, try living right on the edge. See, if you're surfing a wave. I'll guarantee you, surfers don't sit there and analyze the past and bitch and moan about the waves that they didn't catch. See, once they get there, catch a funnel. See, oh, see, they're though so totally, totally grounded in that. See, that it becomes an absolutely blissful state. They talk about it. They'll talk about it from absolutely from a spiritual sense almost. the oneness when they get into the tube. See, the oneness, the power, the energy that's turning around them. That's what each one of us is. This is what Musō Saseki said. One of the reasons that he taught and pushed, because the power, the capacity that you have, that you allow, see, to go untapped, unchecked. What an amazing thing to wake up in this most beautiful state. See. And see, in Buddha, the fourth point is he gave us the Eightfold Path. The Eightfold Path is not to limit you. The Eightfold Path is to free you. If you're living your life behind your eyeballs, I'll guarantee you that most of the time, you're pretty darn miserable. And the only times you can escape it is if you use electronic devices to try to short-circuit the pain and the suffering, or you put in just all sorts of crazy things to screw up your mind. See? And then the next day, you suffer the consequences of the futility of what you were trying the night before. Buddha Dharma, see, is to free us from that neurotic, see, self-serving, self-degrading state. And he gave us the Eightfold Path. And he talks about the right view. See, right view. And there is sort of a secular sense to all of this, and scholars will talk about it. Then there's what they'll call the religious, or we could say it's for the serious practitioner. See, for the monks and the nuns, or those people who have taken for the serious. But in truth, it isn't that way. There is not that separation. What works for the secular works for the religious. See, and I don't want to use religion, because religion for me is it's not a pretty thing. And unfortunately, I got carried away and probably damned us in Mexico. I lashed out a little bit about some of that. But see, spiritual, deeply, deeply spiritual. There is no hypocrisy in that. And there is no rigid doctrine. You know what the rigid doctrine is? See, to wake up. See, forget the self. See, in this right view, see, it means to understand the cause and effect. See, that your behavior, whatever, the tiniest, see, actions and thoughts produce a result. If you're living, see, in a painful existence, it's because you're producing it. See, you're keeping yourself trapped karmically. And each time you respond to this moment, you don't respond to this moment awake, you respond from the egocentric mind and its expectations. So with each response, and realize how many times that's actually going on, you tighten the noose of delusion around your neck. See, but the right view is to realize the cause and effect. If I function here from a very open, see, a very honest, egocentric, free, see, then I begin to spin the wheel in a slightly different way. And I begin to experience, as I perform meritorious deeds that help to eliminate pain and suffering. As I do that, see, the world that you inhabit changes. So you have to understand that, so that each time you leave your practice, each time you get up from the cushion and you allow yourself to slip back into the old patterns of thought, because from those thoughts you project, and from that projection, action is born. But if you can actually become this pristine crystal awareness, see, and it literally becomes like this. No thought going on. See, you simply are looking out here. And as we stay in that non-distracted state, this illusion of separation drops away. It really becomes thinner and thinner. See, drops away. You enter into the world of oneness. And in the world of oneness, see, all sorts of amazing kinds of possibilities, see, occur. Now, don't think we're talking about some place other than where you are. We're not. See, this right view, though, is to understand it's because I have the wrong view, a view based upon my ego needs. And that's always delusional. See, and then we go into the right thinking. See, I didn't even look at these. I took these down. There's one that I didn't particularly like, the actions or the interpretation, see. But the right thinking, see, is to continuously maintain, see, this openness, see. When I look out, see, there'll be thoughts that do occur, but the big point is that I don't obsess on them and I don't try to develop them. See, the right thinking is non-thinking. It isn't the suppression of thoughts, see, not at all. But it is the kinds of thoughts that occur should be gentle and should be caring and should be nurturing and should be freed from self-concern. And if you can do that, see, the Buddha gave us these beautiful paths for doing what? For transforming your life. See, it's all about you. You're alone there behind your eyes and behind your, it's you. If you keep yourself bound, see, to the egocentric world, see, it's a little narrow world. And it's that world of no win. And it's greedy, see, and it's hurtful. But see, if you continuously, see, if you continuously keep the right view, see, and make it really simple. See, you don't have to go through these 8 points. See, simply stay, see, in a state of non-distracted awareness. Then you've covered it. See, that's the right view. See, that's the right thinking. And then there's again here, if you stay in this state of non-distracted awareness and you're truly free, see, from your expectations, then what we have is right speech. And remember, part of this is an evolutionary thing as we go along. See, so when you, if you find yourself slipping back, see, into the egocentric kinds of thoughts, then the right thinking is to realize that, see. And then you make the correction, see. And then out of that correction, right speech. What kind of speech is it? It's not insensitive speech, see. This is speech, see, that cuts through the pain and the suffering. This is speech that is true. What does true mean? It is the truth of what is here. It does not, see, contribute to delusion. It does not contribute to the ignorance. True speech is speech that leads you into this Buddha mind. Dogen said that, see, false words that lead to the Dharma are true words. And true words that lead away from the Dharma are false words. It means that I can take the words of the Buddha, and if they're used in an incorrect way, if they're used, see, as a psychological prop for my egocentric needs, which is what they're probably used like most of the time, they're then false words. See, you don't make this thing a complicated ordeal. Buddha Dharma isn't complicated. See, but kind speech, right speech. Have you ever watched somebody? You will inadvertently allow something to flop out of your mouth. And have you ever watched the pain? It's like a whip. Somebody, you'll see them. See, and oh my God. And the interesting part, once you've released them, there's no way you can explain them away. See. So we have to be very conscious of what our words and how our words impact on people. I watch people come through here, and I've seen ones, who deliberately act like asses with their words. They like it. They like to be confrontational. Why? To cause pain and suffering. And when I see that today, I realize what a bankrupt person that is. That is a very narrow. What's happened, see, is the Buddha nature now has been encrusted in this yucky, tar-like egocentric self. And these are narrow, pathetic little people that are constantly, constantly causing problems. Confrontation continuously. Why? Your words. See? Right words. See, right words are healing. Right words are reassuring. See, right words are liberating. And then right actions. See, here again, we can get into the, if we want to look at the right actions, think in terms of the 10 grave precepts. And see, Buddha Dharma is absolutely amazing. See, from his Four Noble Truths, it spreads out. His the Mahaprajna Heart Sutra, the Diamond Sutra. See, just a few that we really need to hold on to. Nothing else is particularly important. It's all stated there. But he'll talk about the Four Noble Truths. And then Dogen takes those Four Noble Truths and in a certain sense makes them understandable to anyone who wants to apply them. See? And the most amazing gift, when we were there at, some of you have seen Domon Sensei's precept transmission. We had it again for Hoso. And it's beautiful when these precepts, cause and effect is the beginning. If you understand cause and effect, if you truly understand cause and effect, you will watch your actions. You will watch your thoughts. You will watch your speech. See, it's so absolutely important. See, because if it is driven behind the ego expectation, see, it will always be destructive. And if it is destructive, I'll guarantee you, you're not happy, even in the midst of the conflicts. See, and there's a way out of it. See, we get here the right actions. See, we'll talk about killing, stealing. See, we've changed one, we get into it. It's the wrong sexual conduct. See, this, and what does this mean? Roshi had some real problems working with this because of misunderstandings. You have nutcases who go after gender or sexual orientation. See, these are nutcases. Anything in the eye of Buddha Dharma, this enlightened mind, is beautiful if you cause no harm. See, that's the one prohibition. No harm. Do not cause harm. If you cause harm, the first person you harm is yourself. See? And that's what I mean. Commit no evil. See, in the three pure precepts. But when we look through the right actions, you live in samsara because of the 10 grave precepts. We kill, we steal, we lie, all kinds of unchaste behavior. See, we talk about other people. Look at yourself carefully. Isn't that what you do all the time? See? And this is why, like with the precepts, with Buddha Dharma, see, it isn't that there's a God going to punish you. Not at all. It isn't going to happen. See, you punish yourself. You keep yourself locked, see, in the twisted psychology of the egocentric mind, and it's delusional. See? Now, what do we do in Buddha Dharma? Actually, if you go through the steps to where you really deeply appreciate what samsara is, see, then you'll see why we suffer. We suffer because we violate those. So here in the Eightfold Path, Buddha tells you, right action is you just flip those. And we don't kill. And we don't steal. And we don't engage in hurtful, harmful activities. See? And how do we do that? We do that by practice. See, and during your day-to-day activities, see, using your right thinking. See, right thinking. Each time you watch yourself do those things, see, you make the adjustment. You make the atonement. And then right living. See, how do we, what does it mean, right living? It means that you live in harmony, that you understand cause and effect. See, this is where we're watching the bankruptcy. See, of, well, it's an interesting word, isn't it, for some of you. Some of you know a lot about that now, or a few months ago you would have poo-pawed that one. But anyway, do you understand the environmental issues that are concerned here? If you ask, there are people who run around, and we've had them here, see, they wanted socially engaged Buddhism, and fortunately the person sat where Shindo was, and one of the first things I did was attack the BS stuff of socially engaged Buddhism. That's a bunch of junk, socially engaged Buddhism. See, what kind of thinking is that? Is there any Buddhism that isn't totally socially engaged? What can be more socially engaged than living in the world of oneness? See, and here, right living, see, we have to understand the balance with the environment. You can't exploit. See, you live in harmony. The treasure of the Sangha, see, can become then vast. And it's how you relate, how you live with the environment. See, Buddha Dharma was the first great movement, environmental movement. See, it has to be that way. Buddha said, when he simultaneously, the great earth, all sentient beings, all things, see, there isn't anything, see, that isn't this Buddha mind. And it all becomes awake. And it becomes sick if we distort it with the drive of the egocentric mind. Look at what's happening, not to just the economy. See, and you don't think it's caused pain and suffering? See, I read someplace that with this financial collapse, almost instantly, throughout the world, 100 million people have now been thrown into abject poverty. That poverty is where they don't know if there's anything for them to eat tomorrow. Because of greed, three poisons, greed. See, now we're also looking at the collapse of the environment and greed. We don't want to pretend. See, why? Well, we want to drill. It doesn't matter that polar bears are drowning. Polar bears don't drown, but they do now. See, because again, right living. See, right living, you live in harmony. You live in balance, cause and effect. If you gut the environment, Mama Nature will turn on you. She will no longer nurture you. She will collapse under your greed. And what is your future? Pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. You can build a bubble world. See? Dubai. See? Islands. We're going to produce islands of the world. See, that's reality TV. See? And those islands are sinking. They're sand, of course. Who wouldn't have thought of that? The engineers, see? I was read, see these, a couple of the women there say, it's really crappy. They said they take these pictures and they tell you how beautiful it is. But their houses, the basements fill up with salt water. Of course. See, it's an insanity. That's the world of insanity. See, we can't reach out. We don't understand how it is. Right living. See? See, if your living is right, you keep yourself in good health. You keep your family in good health. Only an idiot wouldn't do that. See? And if you keep your family in good health, see, you have to keep your neighborhood in good health. If your neighborhood, Gilman was telling me, Reuben, their son had read someplace, something about, one of the best monitors of whether or not you're happy, you have a contented life. And you know the monitor they can use, the barometer they can use to tell if you're going to be happy? They check your neighbors. Yeah, if your neighbors are happy, there's a tendency that the people there are also happy. Now, there's a secret in that. See, if people can see that, see, if you become an enlightened Buddha, see, that radiates out. And within your mandala, all of the things within your mandala, see, begin to resonate to that also. This is what Buddha said. when he became enlightened, he said, how wonderful, the great earth and all simultaneously attain the way. See, it is Buddha's enlightenment that is our salvation. This can be done. See, again, throw out, don't think of it as an Asian religion. That's not what it is. See, most amazing, see, this is the birthright of all sentient beings. This is the universe. See, that's what it is. Then right effort. And you yourself have to make an effort. See, refrain from evil. Commit no evil. See, that's the three pure precepts. See, and what does that mean? It means that you don't allow yourself to cause this enlightened mind, this Buddha mind, to tumble into confusion and egocentric craving and grasping and rejecting. See? You have to stay in the state of non-distracted awareness. What is a Buddha? What is a Buddha? Very simple. A Buddha is someone, is a sentient being that stays in samadhi 24 hours a day. Why is that so complicated? Why is that? That's the whole point of it there. Stay awake. And now I'm not talking about not sleeping, although they tell you the practice goes 24 hours a day. That's something else. Once you, if you practice this non-distracted state of awareness, non-distracted. That's all it takes to be a Buddha. See? And if you're staying awake like that, anything can jolt you. You get to the state of samadhi. See, where you're sitting in that samadhi. Anything. Roshi with me, a punch to the back on one occasion. See? On other occasions, it could be the old Zen masters. I was reading somebody who, Red Pine, I was reading him on something. He had a very nice line. He was talking about how spiritual practice in Buddha Dharma at a certain place. He said they hadn't reached the place of the Zen masters where they like to slap them around. I like that, see, where they'd slap you around, see, kick you, punch you, spit on you. The great Uman. I was going to bring him in because he was known for his refinement. He was so refined. He didn't care from the time he was a child. He wouldn't play with coarse or vulgar children. And several of his encounters, he steps up and just spits in the face of his monks. Wonderful. Wake up. Wake up. See, commit no evil. Right effort. See, right effort. See, and you continuously work to produce good. Try it. These Eightfold Paths. What is it all about? Is it about any kind of suppression, or is it denying you anything? No, it's trying to bring you out of the sinkhole. See, it's trying to get you to walk into the bright sunlight. See, where there's cool spring breezes and mockingbirds that sing, and where we don't walk by those who are hurt and can't take care of themselves. See, and the seventh is this right mindfulness. See, what is right mindfulness? We can go into all of the intellectual effort we want to. Right mindfulness, see, is this state of non-distracted awareness, mindfulness continuously of the purity of the Sangha, the environment that you inhabit, the purity of it. And in this, you try to commit no evil. You do good. See, and if you actually can break free, see, from this dualistic mind, this egocentric mind, then there is no fear. And some of you in here are beginning to experience this. See, it actually almost seems magical. And we have to be very, very careful, because normally the egocentric mind will take anything that occurs and it'll gobble it up and it'll try to spit it out as some sort of new agey thing. But some of you know that as you practice dana, what is dana? Giving. See, do you see how essential the perfections? See, these are the paramitas. Dana, giving. Giving what? Getting rid of this ego barrier. And the old masters use all sorts of devices. Get rid of this illusion of separation, because the scientists can't find where it is. But you're producing it in your head. You produce your heaven and your hell. And then finally, the right meditation. And this we can call again Zazen. See, and this leads to this spiritual unification. That's, again, I don't even like the way those words, spiritual unification. It's very intellectual. It leads to the world of oneness, which is what you are. See, you are, my teacher would say, you are, see, the universe unfolding. See, don't think about it. See, if you get into that, then you will shut the door on the most amazing thing. How does the great Dogen Zenji, when you reach this point where you have cast off, see, from the shore of dualistic thinking, which is samsara, you've pushed out into the great stream of Buddha Dharma, the awakened mind. See, and Dogen says at this point, he said there are infinite universes. The great Hongzhi says that you frolic in a samadhi of bliss forever. You have crossed over the boundaries of birth and death. This is reality. This isn't make-believe. And the choice is yours. See, you can apply right effort and go through those steps. Or you can keep yourself trapped, see, in the place of fear and trembling.